Social media sites have become very popular with children over the past several years. And in fact, more than half of our children have used social media networks by the age of 10. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Our consumer protection experts are here to talk about ways to keep your children and mine safe online. They'll talk about some recent scams as well. Sandy Chalmers from the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Sandy, great to have you back.
Good morning.
And Michelle Reinen, Director of the Bureau of Consumer Protection. Good to see you again, Michelle.
Thanks, Larry. It's good to be here.
Well, we have lots of things we can talk about, but let's zero in on the children to begin with. And I know we already have callers online here, but there are lots of pros and cons about, allowing your kids or getting your kids online. What are some of the biggest dangers of children using the Internet? There's some obvious ones, but...
Well, most of the apps available for children also collect information. So that's number one. You as a parent need to be involved directly with your child and talk to them about how they're spending their time online, what to do if somebody makes an inappropriate comment on one of those gaming-type apps. There are a lot of tools available for parents to help control kids' internet usage. There are tools available to filter and block websites, some block specific content on websites. There are tools that block outgoing content, so that helps you limit what kind of information your child might share. There are tools available that limit the time a child spends online, which that's the one they're going to complain about, And then there are monitoring tools that report back to a child the kinds of websites the child is visiting. Others provide a warning message when a kid visits certain sites. And, those tools are great, but they don't substitute for a chat with your kids or grandkids about what they're doing online. You need to know what kind of games and apps they're playing, what your family has decided is okay in using a computer or tablet, smartphone, who it's okay to play games with online, and why it's important not to share personal information like address, school, or plans for the weekend, friend's name, things like that. And then, hopefully this doesn't happen, but again, it's important that they know how to deal with inappropriate behavior by another player. Some games allow you to block another player, or they require that you notify the company that something inappropriate is going on. So those are some things to start with as a parent or grandparent.
Mm-hmm. And you really need to talk with them about safe. And it's not I have an 11-year-old, not the easiest thing to talk with them about, to be perfectly honest. It's sort of an awkward conversation. Knowing how to really make that conversation can be difficult.
There are federal laws in place for young children, the kinds of, I think it's under the age of 13, games that collect personal information about a child require parental consent before the child can use that game. But still, it's up to you as a parent or grandparent to closely monitor what your children are doing online, because there are just so many opportunities for something to go really wrong.
And the kind of information they can get, so they can, as you were saying, that maybe they find out about the school. What other kinds of information might they get just from?
Well, most smartphones, have a GPS ping, and some apps will collect your location. So that's something you should look at as a parent, whether that is enabled or not. Some collect email address. It's endless, the kinds of information that's collected. So when you download an app onto your phone, it will say, this is the kind of information that this app will collect. If you're not happy with what information you'll be sharing, then don't download the app.
Yeah, don't download it. Well, you both sent me some information here, and I'm looking at my Facebook, for example, and I have participated in something that might have gotten me in a little, not gotten me in trouble, but it, well, in a way, there are all kinds of these question things now, or game type things. Of what type of Star Wars character are you, for example? And find out with our quiz. And so there's all these quizzes out there on a whole host of things. And a couple of them I was intrigued, and I'm, oh, I'll try that out. And not even thinking, and frankly, it was from people who I knew. So I, you know, may have been giving a lot of information out that I didn't want to do.
Yeah, remember that the purpose of social media is to sell targeted advertising. And to do that, they need information about you. And the more information they have, the more valuable the ad space is to companies that buy the ad. So we've seen a lot of games lately where you put in information and it tells you what state you are, state
yes.
of the country, or what color you are, or whatever.
Yes.
And, you know, because of the age I am, I always get ads with pictures of Bobby Sherman and David Cassidy and things like that. Well, that it gets my attention.
Sure.
You know? So just be aware that any kind of game that you download or game that you play, an interactive type game like that, is collecting information about you, which will be then sold on to other advertisers. And if you don't want that kind of information about yourself shared, then don't play those games.
And if you and as you pointed out, if you enter your, you know, if they ask you for your cell phone number or something like that, you might wind up being charged, Michelle, for some service charge every month of $9 or $10.
That's absolutely right. You've given that out, and then you maybe have given authorization to continue to receive this and have a monthly charge of $9.95 that you may or may not even notice on your bill. The other thing is, now they have your cell phone number, and maybe you've unknowingly given consent to receive telephone calls to add that to the whole telemarketing ring, and you've given out that information as well. So that can be a double catch right there.
Talking with Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen today from the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection about consumer protection issues. We've zeroed in a little bit about keeping kids safe online, but certainly lots of opportunity for you to join in with your question or comment or experience. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page. And our Facebook page, to get there, go to The Larry Mueller Show. That's the title of our page, The Larry Mueller Show. Sue in Appleton, thanks a lot for calling. What's on your mind?
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you for having me on here. I wanted to relate a story for anybody, any age. My sister, she was checking her emails for work, and she got an email that said that we know where you live, we know where you work, and we have people watching you every day, and we are going to kill you unless you send us money. And needless to say, it's very, very unnerving to get an email like that. So she did recognize it as a scam right away just because of the wording, but I just wanted to pass it along. She does live out of state. It happened out of state, and she did contact the police and everything. But if it's happening out of state somewhere, it can happen here too, and I just wanted other people, you know, like young kids or elderly people who are more vulnerable to believing something like that. It was just frightening.
I just wanted
to pass that story along.
Thank you, Sue, very much for passing that along. Michelle, a comment.
We've seen quite a bit of this, actually. It started with the telemarketing aspect, the telephone, people receiving phone calls that were extremely threatening to, there was a warrant out for your arrest, pay money, and then they kept escalating up and up, and you owe us money or we're going to come get you. And with different tools online, they can use identifiers to make you feel very vulnerable. They know what your home looks like. You drive this car, from using different online resources there. And now now it's moving to an email threat as well. And a lot of this, as we've seen in working with our national partners, comes from out of country. And the kicker is always they want you to wire money or get some kind of money pack type card to get the money to them. But it's always this threat of we're going to do something to you or harm you if you don't get us money. So if you feel truly threatened, this woman, Sue, told us that they did contact the police. You should do that. But then make sure you're filing the reports so we can follow through and maybe they can identify through the national partners that we work with where they're coming from. At one point, they were coming out of Jamaica, but the scam moves around as far as its source.
There we go. Sue, thanks again for calling. I appreciate your call. Alice in New London, thank you for calling. Hi.
Yes, my comment is very similar to the one just before. Twice this week, we have gotten calls from Haiti threatening us with lawsuits by the IRS. And, of course, we know what they're up to. But a lot of people are very vulnerable to this, and I believe that the total amount of scams internationally probably amounts in the billions. What I wish is that our State Department would accept complaints, formal complaints. Let's say we go to the complaint service here in Wisconsin, but that we could send a copy to the State Department, and the State Department would then, when they accumulate an awful lot from a particular country, forward those to the embassy or the consulate and ask them please to pressure, to turn them over and pressure local in those countries, police enforcement to at least investigate. Because if it starts to cause them inconvenience or trouble, maybe they would then do something about it instead of telling us, well, you can't do anything about it because it's all in another country.
Yeah. Well, Alice, thanks. Comment on that, Michelle?
So when we receive a consumer complaint about this type of action, we do forward a copy to our different partners, whether it be, depending upon the item that's being discussed in the complaint, the FBI, the Secret Service, the Federal Trade Commission, and they do compile this information and then try and build these relationships with these international governments to clamp down on the fraud and the scams that are going on. So some of that is happening. Maybe not at the State Department level, but it is happening with our national agencies out there.
And you hope that continues to increase over time.
Mm-hmm. It just sure. The scams keep moving around, that's for sure.
Something that really complicates things is that other countries don't necessarily have the same prohibitions on fraud and wire fraud, you know, that kind of mail fraud that we have here. So that can make it very difficult for us to work with other countries to bring these people to justice.
Talking consumer issues today, protection issues with Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen of the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. I'm Larry Mueller. Cheyenne Lentz, our on-air producer today here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about consumer issues with Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen. Again, you can join us at 1-800-642-1234. Go to our Facebook page with a question or comment, The Larry Mueller Show Facebook page, or email us at talk@wpr.org. Facebook question from Daniel about scams online. Daniel says, I recently tried to sell some equipment on Craigslist. I immediately got responses from suspicious sources. They were offering to buy my items without asking anything about them. They were insistent about paying me with PayPal. I asked them a few simple questions about their business and location, got suspicious answers. One tried to send me some sort of link that seemed odd. I trashed it and erased their contacts. Better safe than sorry, for sure. How do they scam through PayPal?
Well, there are a number of ways they do that, but what this probably is the crooks have set up a PayPal lookalike website,
oh.
and it has really gotten pretty sophisticated, where they'll direct you to this fake website, you pay, and they set up email confirmations on the payment, and your money actually is going into their bank account. So that's probably what that was about. But I tell you, Craigslist fraud is just rampant, and we recommend, we have questions about this all the time. We recommend that people who are buying or selling on Craigslist take the time to read the fraud page of the Craigslist website and see what the most recent scams are, so you're educated before you either pay money to a crook or cash a fake check from a crook.
Oh, good points. I'm just not inclined to use Craigslist for those very reasons, to be honest. But I may be in the minority on that. But anyway, that's how I feel. Pepin in Milwaukee. Let's go that way. Hi, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. I got hit by a scam a few years ago, actually, and basically the way it works is all of a sudden you need to see a new virus scanner on your computer that you don't recognize, and it comes up with all these threats on your computer and then says, oh, well, to, you know, remove the threats and all that stuff, you just got to pay $20. Well, obviously I didn't do that because I knew it was a virus itself.
Yeah.
And basically what happens is, it tells you that in order to remove the virus scanner, you got to pay money. And then it proceeded to try to lock down my computer. I was able to get rid of it just by basically deleting a bunch of files that I was actually using. But I guess my general advice is, know what virus scanner you're actually using. And also, just don't pay these people money.
Yeah, that's probably pretty good advice, Andy.
Yeah, that's one that's been around for a couple of years now, and the FBI warns about it on a pretty regular basis. It was targeting home PCs for a while, and now it seems to be hitting small businesses. So that's, problematic. But it's called, I believe, the Revitun virus. And it used to be that you would have to click on a link to download it. And the concern is that now if you just view a website, you can inadvertently download this. So really be aware of the websites that you're visiting.
Pepin, thanks a lot for calling. I appreciate it. It's a good reminder and good information to have. You can join in, too, at 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call with your questions and comments. We certainly love to hear from you. And as you look, there was you were talking about websites that look so much like the real thing. What are the kind of clues or tip-offs that a website may not be what it says it is? What are the signs maybe that a website could be a scam?
Well, one of the basic signs is just if you go to a website using a link rather than typing in the web address yourself, a known web address, is that you would see, it could be an imposter site. You're going to see typos. You're going to see lookalike issues. Those are those imposter websites. Another is to hover over on the URL area, and you will see where you actually are as opposed to what you typed in. So you really want to pay attention. You want to watch for the HTTPS or the security symbols if you're doing any kind of password or monetary transactions, as opposed to not seeing that S, because if you're at a banking site, a true banking site, all the federal regulations, there needs to be the S there. You need to be on a secure portion of that website whenever you're giving that password or monetary information.
We've had a lot of calls about DMV.com, where people had to pay for a driver's license application form, and were kind of tricked into that. So looking at the .com versus the .org or .gov is another possible indicator.
All right, some good things here. Let's go to AJ in Saukville next. AJ, hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, thank you for having me. I had a quick little story about I got called by a Washington, D.C. number, and it was like someone from the Middle East that was saying I could get some money because they knew I had financial student aid debt, and all they needed was a number, a card number, whatever number, and I had like a dollar. I knew this was a scam straight up, so I had a card like a dollar gift card, but it was like a credit card, bank card. So I was going to give it to him, but I was like, hey, hang on a second. And I put him on hold, and I called, like, I just quick, like, Googled FBI headquarters or whatever, and I got through to D.C. FBI, because that's where, like, the phones that they were coming from, and I, like, even looked up, like, a schematic of the FBI headquarters, so I knew which department to ask for, with, you know, when it came to, like, scams. So then, like, when I got to the receptionist that said, you know, I'd, like, I would be put through to that unit, and so they did that, and then, like, the guy that got on the phone, he's like, family department, and I was like, yeah, so I have this guy on the phone holding right now, and I know it's a scam, and he's asking for, you know, credit card number, and he's going to give me $10,000 for free, basically, and I'm like, we can probably triangulate his location if you, like, get on a three-way. I'm sure you have some sort of device that could do that, maybe. And then he got mad at me, and he's like, you don't ever call this number again. You need to call your local FBI office. And I'm like, oh, well, can you patch me through to him? Because I'm in Milwaukee, and he's like, no, we're not connected that way. So then I ended up, the guy's still on hold, and I ended up calling the local FBI office. And I eventually got through to a woman who's like, I explained the whole thing, and I'm like, we could get, like, this person and figure out where they're at. You know, I'm sure they're bouncing, you know, and they're in a different country or whatever, but at least, like, we can try to do something about it right now, and I'm willing, helpful citizen that's wasting my time. I didn't think I was wasting my time, you know, and she just said, yeah, we've heard of this one before. We're on it.
So she didn't want to help. Well, that is quite the story, AJ, and you went a lot out, and the person was still on hold all that time was kind of the amazing thing.
Yeah, that's probably a tip-off right there that they waited that long to try and give you some money. Anytime someone calls you to offer to give you money, but you then need to pay for it, that right there is one of the major red flags. If you've won something, you don't need to pay for it. If you're eligible to receive something, you don't need to hand over all your personal information to receive it. And this was completely unsolicited. It doesn't sound like AJ had applied for any kind of assistance or aids. And so out of the blue is another major flag. If the circumstances kind of align themselves to where you would start to think, well, yeah, I do have financial aid. They knew something about me. Compile this. They're all red flags that really need to be thought of in those moments when things are happening.
And kind of a thanks again, AJ, for calling. Kind of along with that and sort of going back to an earlier question about Craigslist, Angie wondered, is there a way to report and investigate buyers who try to scam you on Craigslist? So if I have their phone number and email address, isn't there, you know?
Well, if it's a crook, they probably aren't giving you their true phone number. You know, they're hiding behind a spoofed number, or it's pretty easy to hide that way. If you're going to buy or sell on Craigslist, I recommend doing something locally, and that way you can meet the seller or buyer in a police department parking lot or something like that, where there's a little bit of protection. But there's just so much fraud out there, you really have to be careful.
Mary in Appleton, it's your turn. Hi, Mary.
Hi. I own a small business, and we get emails where somebody is asking us for a product, and they want, you know, they, like the one I had this last week was, he wanted chickens for his wedding, and, you know, it was obvious to me that it was a scam, because he's talking about it, he had hearing problems and blah, 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 and so I gave him the information, and then he sent me back another email that said he wanted me to do a favor for him, because he was going to have a carrier come and pick up this chicken or whatever it was, and he wanted me to send them a MoneyGram, which I have no idea what a MoneyGram is, for $650. And what I'm wondering is, where can I report this stuff?
You can report...
Yeah,
you can report that to us. We handle this kind of complaint all the time, and many of our laws apply to consumers and businesses as well. You can call our hotline at 1-800-422-7128 or file a complaint online at datcp.wi.gov.
D-A-C-P-E?
D-A-T-C-P.
Okay.
.wi.gov.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, because, I mean, we get this kind of stuff all the time, because we've gotten the We Energies one as well.
Okay,
where
yeah.
They call and tell us that, you know, that they've screwed up on our bill and they want us to give our account information, and they'll put the money in our account and you know, we kind of mess with them sometimes and just say, well, how much do we owe you? And they're like, well, no, we're going to pay you money. And it's like, okay, well, then why do you need, just send me a check. And so it's, you know, it's like, yeah, we know it's a scam. So.
Yeah, and when he talked about MoneyGram, he was talking about you wiring money. So that's a pretty big sign that there's a ripoff involved here and that he's somewhere overseas.
Yeah, and that's, we kind of figured that out. And I was like, yeah. It's kind of fun to mess with them sometimes, too.
I think that's the first scam involving chickens that we've heard about, though.
Well, he wanted chicken and salad, and it's like, well, what kind of salad? And he's like, well, I don't know. And I'm like, well, it was okay, whatever.
Oh, Mary, thanks for calling. Appreciate it. It was a little lighter moment here, even though it could be pretty serious. If you actually took some of that to heart. Linda in Milwaukee, your turn. Hi, Linda.
Hi.
How are you?
I am wonderful. How are you on National Hug Day?
Is it National Hug Day?
It is National Hug Day, yes.
I didn't know that. Well, that's good to know. I might try that out later on. Now, have you had a consumer fraud issue?
Yes, I do. My question is, I'm calling in regards to people that are purchasing sick puppies from commercial pet stores, from commercial breeders, from backyard breeders. I know that Act 90, which is the Dog Breeders Licensure and Inspection Act, originally had provided for at least 4 inspectors for the state of Wisconsin. Now we're down to 3, and it looks like we're not going to get the 4th person back. And people are taking, you know, taking what people at the pet stores are saying, that, oh, these puppies are coming from licensed and inspected kennels. Well, the state of Wisconsin has 4 kennels on the Humane Society of the United States Horrible 100 list. And I guess I'm really concerned, because if we've got 4 kennels that are on the Horrible 100 list, and people are consistently buying dogs from commercial pet stores and are paying thousands of dollars in vet bills, and in some cases the puppy is dying because they are coming into the pet store with certain types of illnesses. They've got parvo, they've got giardia, they've got things that could be zoonotic diseases, which could pass from dog to human. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering, do we have any recourse on a state level for something like this?
All right, let's turn to Michelle.
In all honesty, Linda, I hate to say this. We're within the Bureau of Consumer Protection. It is one entity within the entire Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. So I don't have any expertise or knowledge in this area, and I'd encourage you to reach out by phone or in writing to that Division of Animal Health to ask these questions that you have about that, because they would be the ones who'd better be equipped to answer and provide you information.
So the Department of Wisconsin Department of Animal Health?
Well, it's still our Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. It's just one of our divisions of animal health. They're in our building. It's just they have that
That's
area.
What they do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Division of Animal Health.
That's right. And if you want to get there, you can call our 800 number, and they would transfer you to that area if you want to reach out that way.
Okay, so it's 800-422-7128, if I remember rightly.
That's right.
There you go. Thank you, Linda, for calling. Appreciate your call. And more callers online. Let's turn to Tim in Green Bay next. Tim, hello to you.
Good morning. I was wondering if you could recommend some tips for parents of teens regarding cell phone and web use.
Yeah, when it gets to teens, that's a whole nother area. Obviously, being involved in your kids' online life is important, and I know it gets sensitive when they want to create their own space and have their own lives, but some of the basic things are to remind them that online actions have very real consequences, and what you post online will follow you for the rest of your life. And explain that it's important that they limit the kind of information that they share. They should have a clear understanding of what kind of information should stay private. I know the schools are big time into education on online bullying, cyberbullying. You can also limit access to your kids' profiles and show them the privacy settings and how to change the privacy settings. So many kids don't understand that their Facebook profile defaults to everything being shared. So go through that with them. And then it's okay to review your friends' your kids' friends list. When my kids got on Facebook, I created a profile for myself, and I friended them to see. Mm-hmm. I sent them a friend request, and they both friended me, which was good, a good sign that they trusted me. But, you know, even now they're just out of school, but I kind of keep tabs on them.
Yeah.
And so I know what they're doing through Facebook.
Yeah, all right. So some things to think about. Thank you so much for calling, Tim. You can join in, too, taking a look at consumer scam issues and keeping your kids safe online as well with our two guests, Michelle Reinen and Sandy Chalmers from the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. I'll turn to Dan in Fond du Lac next. Dan, hi. Thank you for calling.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I just received my credit card bill the other day, and I've got a charge on there from Amazon Prime for $99.95. I never signed anything. It could have been some indication, like a free thing from free shipping or something if you try it, but evidently I didn't even know we had it. And I just want to know how to go about challenging that charge.
So on your billing statement, there should be instruction on disputing a charge in the written part, and you want to follow that credit card's procedure in disputing a charge. There's usually a form or some paperwork that needs to be filled out. Typically, you can do it online as well. But you have 60 days from the time that the credit card charge appears on your statement to file that dispute, and then they'll look into it and determine if it needs to be reviewed. You may also want to go back, since it's that magic 995 kind of number, to see if this was on a previous bill, the one before that or the month before that, because it may be a trigger to some other kind of monthly renewal type situation with an affiliate biller that's popping up. And then you'd want to also file a complaint with Consumer Protection if you're seeing a pattern of that.
It was $99.95.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed the first nine there. So, yes, definitely file that dispute with the credit card company.
Yeah, and you can actually, I've called. I had an issue once where I actually called the credit card company, and they handled it right away. Of course, it was an issue that I think they were easily able to handle right away. They went online to my site, and so a phone call might not hurt either. And I just went online to my credit card company, got the phone number, and made the call. All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Again, you can join us at 800-642-1234. Give us a call. We had a Facebook question from Lee, who says, I have a lot of problems getting rebates from major national company office supply stores on copier paper. Have there been other problems and complaints about people not receiving their rebates? This one has to do with copier paper. Have you have any recollection of that, Michelle?
Not of that particular name isn't ringing a bell, but we do see from time to time complaints about people receiving their rebate because they can be extremely specific. File within the window, fill out the exact paperwork, the specific receipt that they need.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't always hear communication back that your rebate's not going to be provided because you didn't do something this precisely. So I'd again encourage this person to file a complaint if they've already reached out and are getting no feedback. They're not receiving any feedback. So you can go online to file that complaint at datcp.wi.gov or 1-800-422-7128.
And we have that information, again, on my Facebook page, too, at the Larry Mueller Show. So if you didn't get it all down, you can just go there, and we've got it listed there. We had a comment from Tom in Green Bay, who says many parishes have been receiving letters in the Minneapolis area asking for $200 to donate to help the Pope visit the United States. Have you heard about that one?
No, I haven't, and I think the Pope can afford to visit on his own dime. But, you know, charity scams are extremely prevalent, and we just had the huge FTC announcement on the fake breast cancer charities.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it really is tragic to think of all those people that donated money thinking that they were helping this cause, and it was going to pay for fancy vacations and beach homes and things like that. So do research charitable solicitations you receive. And even though it may sound like a great cause, wouldn't it be great to have the Pope right here in Green Bay? Be very skeptical.
Yeah, for sure. Carol from state of Illinois, your turn. Hi, Carol.
Oh, hi there. I got a call last night about 11:15, and it woke me out of a deep sleep, and of course it startled me because I've got kids and grandkids, and I immediately thought the worst. It was somebody who called and said, good evening, at 11:15. He said, I'm calling from, and I couldn't catch the name of the company, and I'm calling about your computer. There's a lot of background noise, and the gentleman had a really sick accent, so I just immediately hung up. I don't know. Other than that it was just a scary thing. The adrenaline was going like crazy, and I don't know who it was or what it could lead to.
Yeah, I could be. I'm sure that at midnight to have something like that, it can be a kind of a scary experience, Michelle. And probably Carol did the right thing.
Oh, absolutely. She did the right thing. This is a very popular phone call where you get the call and your computer is giving off signals that there's a virus and you're having all these troubles and it's going to shut down. So they're trying to gain access where you will then hand over access to the computer so they can correct the problem. But really, they're just manipulating it, trying to obtain your personal information by loading some software on there so they can track you, or just taking the information while they're on the phone right then and there. The other thing is they often want you to wire them money so they can correct the problem and you know, pay for the service of correcting the problem. So now you've given over personal information and made a payment as well for something that is not legitimate. Make sure that you have protections on your computer, that you have a virus software, that your browsers are up to date, that your networking system that you use is all up to date as well, and then be running those scans on your computer regularly and keeping them maintained. And you don't need to worry about your computer giving off signals to these scammers.
Consumer protection issues on our mind today with Michelle Ryden and Sandy Chalmers from the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. So happy to have you listening in on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio as we take a look at scams, consumer scams today with Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen from the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. We've got one open line, I think, at 1-800-642-1234. You can always email us at talk@WPR.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Tony in Minnesota up next. Tony, hi. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, hi. I got a rebuttal here for the guy in who was talking about the Amazon Prime. I just went through something similar, but I went and bought something from Amazon, and I wanted the two-day free shipping.
Yep.
And if you do that, you sign up for a 30-day free trial of Amazon Prime. So after that, maybe him or his wife bought something and they forgot, but you have to actually physically go in into your account and cancel that subscription. Otherwise, they bill you $99.
Oh.
Okay. But he also can try to call Amazon, and 9 times out of 10, they will work with you to refund that money. They may not give you the whole $99 back. They may give you $90 back. But that's happened to me before, too. And it's an honest mistake.
Yeah. There we go. Thanks a lot for calling. Comments? Michelle or Sandy?
I was actually thinking the same thing. It's very easy to do, and you get the 30-day free trial, and if you don't cancel at the end of the 30 days, they automatically charge you for the... And that's all disclosed, but easy to overlook or forget.
Easy to overlook, yeah, absolutely. So good points. Thank you so much for calling with that reminder. Janice in Adams, Wisconsin, your turn. Hi, Janice.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My question, it's actually a question and a comment. This is actually a kind of a twist, I would call it, on consumer fraud. A major satellite company, satellite service in the United States, I was fraudulently signed up for their service, and I found out that it was set up with my name and social security number in the state of Texas, and consequently, actually for probably a couple of years now, I've been getting letters in the mail where it just says, you know, a current resident, they're from the satellite company, they advertise all over, no credit check required. And my question is, shouldn't these major companies and corporations be beholden to the consumer that they do thorough credit checks? Because of them not doing a credit check, I had the satellite service set up in the state of Texas in my name. And actually, I have a good friend that lives in California, and he said, oh, it happened to me too. Mine was set up in Alabama. And same satellite company, because no credit check is required. Mm-hmm. And I contacted the Federal Trade Commission, filled out a police report with the local police department, and I had to fax in all the documentation, the police report, the Federal Trade Commission report that I filled out, so forth, within an hour after faxing this to the satellite company. They contacted me. They said, oh, you're not responsible. They contacted me so quickly. That led me to believe, especially with knowing that a good friend of mine that lives in the state of California had the same thing happen to him a few months before it happened to me, that this must happen countless times through this company. They're aware of it, yet because they want the business, they are willing to
take the
not
chance.
Do credit checks, background
yeah.
checks.
Yeah. Wow. It's a kind of a different ballgame in a way, Michelle.
It is. What I can talk to is that most of these companies do, as a practice, want your information because they do credit checks on you because it's typically an extension of credit. That's a business decision, and that gets into different legislation and regulation choices that we don't have decision-making power over. But I think the key thing here that we can talk about is that it sounds very much like Janice became a victim of identity theft, where someone was using her information information to obtain goods and services. And so the steps and the things that one needs to do if becoming a victim or to safeguard your information is running credit checks against your name on an annual basis to make sure someone isn't using your information and damaging your credit and you being a victim of identity theft. And then if you are a victim, you do need to file that police report and file that complaint, because then you can go through the remediation process and figure out who did the signature cards and different things to correct the problem there. So always keeping your personally identifiable information as protected as you can, and really question who you give it to and for what purpose are the keys there, but running that credit report on an annual basis.
Yeah. Thanks again, Janice, for calling. I really appreciate your call as well. I want to give Kathy and Ladysmith a chance. Kathy, hello to you.
Hello there. How are you? And thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have the question I have. Can you get scam text messages? Because I recently have gotten some really weird ones that I just delete off the phone because of the number I don't recognize and the wording, the way it starts, it's like, what kind of is this? So I just been deleting them. My question is, can you be scammed via a text message?
You sure can. They may be phishing for information about you. Sometimes those fraudulent texts have a link to click on that can cause all kinds of problems that Michelle was discussing earlier. It also may be a violation of the state do not call law. If you receive an unsolicited text and your phone number is on the state do not call list, that's another violation. But you should be very skeptical of unsolicited texts, just like you are of unsolicited emails.
Yep.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Yep. Thanks a lot, Kathy, for calling. Another good reminder. Let's go to more callers here. Gerhard in Franklin, you're next. Hi. We'll see. It would help if I push the button to get you on. Hi, Gerhard. Thank you for calling.
Good morning.
Morning.
I was just going to comment that the IRS contacted me in April, and they wanted a soft inquiry. And through the process of the inquiry, I found out that there was a false tax return filed in my name, and the IRS caught it. And it was pretty astounding. Then when I filed the police report, the police were really astounded that the IRS caught it.
Yeah.
And then a few weeks ago, the news broke that the IRS had been hacked. So I'm thinking that the IRS probably might have known of this hacking and the possibility of me getting identity theft.
Or of anybody, for that matter. Sandy?
Tax identity theft has become very common, unfortunately. And the IRS has had a really tough time getting in front of the volume of identity theft that's going on. I did see in the news yesterday that three people in Milwaukee were indicted on charges of tax identity theft by the U.S. attorney.
Oh.
So that's progress.
But
they had stolen $1 million through filing fraudulent tax returns, and they were sending that money to Ukraine for whatever purpose. So that was a small victory, but very welcome.
And thanks again for calling. Appreciate your call. We had an email comment from Gail. Had a problem with dating things on Facebook. And this is interesting. In the beginning, I didn't want to enter my birth year, so I entered 1912. Well, now when I post antique photos of my ancestors, it won't let me put in the correct date of the picture because they were before my birth date. So, a little while ago, I decided to own up to the real thing, but it also won't let me change the birth date. Nothing to worry about, really, but I thought it was interesting. Maybe scam-wise, it works out well. That's the question.
I guess Facebook is smarter than we are, but I have heard of people putting in false birth dates just so that information cannot be hacked or shared. So it's not a bad idea.
Probably not a bad idea. Oh, my gosh. You can join in, too. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call with your questions and with your comments here. I don't know if we have another Facebook comment from Jan. My husband found a charge on our credit card yesterday morning from a motel he stayed at last September. It was for $160. He's not been there since. Called our credit card issuer, and they traced the charge. It was hand-keyed, which means that they had no card to swipe. Our account was canceled, and now we wait for new cards, which is a pain. I emailed corporate and explained the situation. The property owner manager called us and said it was a mistake, wondering why our info was still available at that property after all of this time. So that was a long time ago.
It's a really good question, and glad she asked it of them. What are their policies and practices for maintaining that information, and what's the security behind it? Those are all really good questions to be asking people you do business with, no matter what level, when you hand over your personally identifiable information.
So there was $160 that they might have lost. Another problem with computer repair was when a person contacts someone via the internet for help, they make people give them remote access to their computer, and that also really not a very good idea. That's something we'll talk, let's take some more time with that. We'll take a quick look at the news, and then we'll be back with our two guests, Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Ryan, and they'll be with us till 12:30. Thanks so much for being with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You know, a lot of you are probably on vacation or may take vacation this summer. Maybe you're planning one right now, or maybe you got one booked. There have been some scams involving vacation rentals. We can talk about that. Have you experienced a vacation rental scam or another scam? Call in about that or any other issue, as a consumer issue as well, at 1-800-642-1234, Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen of the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, our guests today. It's always great to have them along. And thank you for listening in. We really appreciate you listening in. This whole business of people on, if you go online, this is something just before news there, Tamara sent us on Facebook, computer repair, if you contact someone via the internet for help, they may ask you for remote access to your computer. And I'm not going to give people remote access to my computer, and you probably shouldn't either, should you, Michelle?
No. If it's someone that you have seeked out and you've done a lot of reference checks on, and they're a legitimate business, maybe if you need that help. But most of these come from that phone call that we talked about a little earlier, where your computer's giving off signals and they want to help you fix it and give me remote access so they can then load different malware, spyware onto the computer, and then they take your money as well. If you're having trouble with your computer, find a local business that you can go face to face with and be there when they come. There's people who come to your home to help fix the computer, but always do a lot of reference checks and verify that they are in the business of fixing computers.
Have you heard of do you have any information on Wisconsin state lottery scams? Someone wondered, and I haven't heard personally, but Sandy,
we have had those in the past. I don't know of anything
recent.
Real recent, but yeah. And the tip-off there is that they'll say, you're the big winner, you know, you've won $1 million or whatever. But then they'll ask you to pay the processing fees or the taxes up front. And as Michelle said earlier, if you're really a winner, you shouldn't have to pay to receive a prize. So that's the red flag.
All right, let's go to Nate and Kimberly next. Nate, thanks for calling.
Thanks for taking my call. I've been listening, and I hear a lot of the calls from Washington, D.C. and the IRS. I received one last week or the week before, and I caught on to it pretty quick that it was a big scam. They said I had 3 warrants for my arrest and this and that within 45 minutes of me ending the phone call with them. If nothing was taken care of, the police would be at my door arresting me. I then called my police department and checked to see if I had any warrants. And the policeman came over, talked to me. He said there's really nothing they can do about it. But he kind of got into a little bit more, saying that he's heard of other things. If people get they work the guy a little bit, kind of get him mad, kind of play around with him, and get kind of not so good with him.
Yeah.
What happens is the scammer, he told me this happened in Appleton. It's called swatting. If you make the guy mad, what happens, they hang the phone up, and they call your local police department and say, this guy is suicidal, he's got his wife hostage, she's my neighbor, this and that.
Oh.
And the police department sends a SWAT team over, they're kicking down your door or whatever, and he said this happened in Appleton. So
whoa.
For anyone listening, you know, don't play with them too much, and just watch yourself there.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Sandy?
Yeah, I just heard a news report about swatting, and those people get into a lot of trouble when they're found. But, you know, overall, we've seen this increasing trend of government imposter scams, and they'll usually threaten you with lawsuits, or when they claim to be the IRS, they'll threaten you with, all kinds of different things. We heard one in the last week or so where the caller ID reads 911, and you see that, and you're going to pick up the phone, but then the caller claims to be with the Attorney General's office and threatens you with lawsuits or arrest if you don't return the call within 4 hours. So we've seen calls from people claiming to be with the Attorney General, the IRS, the FBI, Medicare, and they all have these threatening,
Oh, boy.
And they want your money.
Yep, that's what they want. Nate, thanks again for calling. Appreciate your call. Leslie in Cottage Grove, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, thank you. I received an interesting exchange. I sent in via the computer, I filled out an online thing to get my annual credit report from the 3 agencies, TransUnion, Experian, and Equifax.
Yeah.
And I received the first 2, TransUnion and Experian, with no problem. But then I got a letter from Equifax sent to both my husband and myself that says, we received your request. We need to protect your identity and privacy. We don't have enough information. Please send something with your complete Social Security number, such as your Social Security card, pay stub, or your driver's license, your house deed, and I sat on this request. I smelled a rat right away. About 2 weeks later, I did receive the information I had requested from Equifax. The addresses were exactly the same except for a different post office box number on each one. I'm wondering if there's a scam going on behind the scenes on this one, if you'd heard of it.
Oh, it certainly sounds like it. Sandy?
I'm wondering whether you tried to get that information from annualcreditreport.com.
Very likely.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Or whether it was a lookalike website.
Yeah,
the other thought is, what are your browser protection settings for giving off any information that may be collected as well regarding your browse history potentially, and if you're giving off any cookies with the target marketing. So then someone may have seen that you were at the annualcreditreport.com website trying to get your report, and then got in the middle, kind of a middleman scam in sending you something, to knowing that there is a time lag in getting the information. So
well, I wonder if
there's some potentials out there.
Yeah.
If I could engage the in-private browsing feature of the browser,
always
to avoid that.
Always a very good idea to be as locked down as you can be and protected.
Yeah, there you go. Good points. Leslie, thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Yvonne in La Crosse, your turn. Hi, Yvonne.
Hello. It has to do with the federal government again.
Okay.
But I don't know how it's a scam, but it's really almost becoming harassing. There is a person that calls and says his name is Scott, and it's the same number that comes up every time. And he's calling saying that he wants to help me get disability. And I have not qualified for the federal SSDI, but I've been on disability and not able to work full-time for a number of years. And so he says that wants to help me get disability because of the new Affordable Care Act, but he asks the exact same questions and has it in the same intonation that it sounds totally recorded. I mean, someone must be feeding the response because, you know, I can answer it different every time and I'll still get the same answer. But it's now 9 times. It's at 2 in one day on Tuesday. Oh. And I even said, are you a recording? And it waits and it says, no. We're calling to help you, you know, get disability. But as soon as I ask, have you been out of work for a year or expect to be out of work for a year, which right now I am out of work because of my disability. And I said, well, I really don't hope to be, you know, but I don't know that. And they'll say, fine, I'm sorry, we can't help you. Have a blessed day. And ends every single time. Sorry, I can't help you. Have a blessed day.
Oh, boy, this is a weird one, isn't it, Michelle?
It is, because of the interaction. I mean, there are systems that allow for interaction based on certain responses. Technology is that advanced. So I'd really encourage, Yvonne, if you'd be willing to file a complaint, call our 800 number or go online and file a complaint so we can look at this deeper and see if others throughout the nation are getting this, if there's some kind of pattern, or we can try and look at that phone number in reverse. So 1-800-422-7128 or datcp.wi.gov.
I'm sorry, can you give me the number again?
Sure, it's 1-800-422-7128.
I mean, if they could help me, I would be thrilled.
Well, give a... go ahead.
But I know they're not, so... it's just like dangling a pickle in front of a child or something.
Well, you really should. I can tell you. Well, let's see, Sandy. How many claims were you able to act on in the last year? For example,
we got about 11,000 consumer complaints in the last year, and returned about $3.8 million to consumers. So I do encourage people to file complaints with us, and we'll research this and find out what we can. If it's a legitimate business, we should be able to figure that out fairly quickly. And if it's some kind of fraud, we need to let other people know about this, and we may need to let DHS here at the state level and potentially the federal agencies involved in Social Security about this as well. So we can help many people.
Yeah, so it really does pay. I really encourage you, Yvonne, to go ahead and call and get that information and make that complaint. It's 1-800-422-7128.
I very much wanted to, but I just had no idea where to call. So I'm really glad that you had this on.
Oh,
a scam type of a call, and I got that about 4 or 5 times. And they called and knew my name and said that it was the U.S. Treasury, and they realized that certain people were having difficulties, and they were giving me a $9,000 grant that did not have to be paid back.
Yeah.
And then they ask for my bank account of where how do I want to pick it up. They'll send me cash, or they'll you can put it in this or that. And that was one that they called like three times, but as soon as I started questioning, they'd hang up.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Good for you.
Do call that hotline number, and when you call, let them know that you talked to Michelle and Sandy on the Larry Miller Show, and we asked you to call the number.
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot, Yvonne. Appreciate your call. And Lorene in La Crosse, let's go to you next. Hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry.
Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
I have a question, and I've been hounded quite often and basically on a daily basis. And I apologize if you're hearing the rain. I'm in my car and I'm in a downpour. But I had the splatter sling put in, and I know for a fact that I have the faulty kind. And so, you know, you hear on the TV that, you know, if you have a faulty one, to call the law firm to get on the action suit against them.
Yeah.
And so I'm constantly, every single day for the last 2 years, I get called. And if I don't get calls, I get emails, texts, everything from these people. And I finally know for sure that mine is faulty and it's on the list. But I'm just scared now if it's, you know, as far as divulging medical information. And I just don't know if these guys are legitimate or, you know, what I should do.
All right. I'm not sure either. Well, Sandy, yeah, what's your advice?
You should research the law firms very carefully before signing on. Make sure it's a legitimate law firm. Every once in a while, we have these fake law firms sending letters. I would guess that these are legitimate firms who are contacting you because they want you to join their class action suit. But just take mm-hmm. the time to research, and if you need somebody to help you, that's well worth the time. Yeah. Somebody who understands how to research on Google and feels comfortable calling and asking lots of questions. But don't just hand over. You're very wise not to just hand over medical information.
I would think if you went online to find the law firms online, and you can find the legitimate law firm and actually call the law firm.
Right. Call them directly and make sure they're legitimate and licensed to do business and credentialed and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
They didn't have my name spelled right, and then there was all these blanks that were empty. You know, it just sent up red flags.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It looks like it's been Xeroxed, you know, a few times. You know, if you're going to do it properly, you know, you'd have a nice, clean form.
Yeah.
It just sends a lot of red. So it's just everything about it, you know, was really questionable. So.
Yeah. Yeah,
you may want to consult a local private attorney as well, just if that's you're interested, you know, check out the FDA because they would have, if there's a recall issue, posted there, and then talk to a local attorney to maybe help you sort through how to sign
it. Yeah, it wouldn't hurt. Lorene, thank you very much for calling. Jocelyn in Sheboygan up next. Hi, Jocelyn. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I've had a problem with, I had ordered a camera, a Polaroid camera.
Yeah.
In a catalog, and I called back within an hour to cancel it because I found out that I had another bill that was much higher. And so I canceled it, and they said, okay, you know, and they registered it, and I got the camera anyway. And I've had a lot of health problems. It wasn't exactly on my list of worrying about at the time. And over the months, they sent bills, and I called them, and I said, I'm afraid to send the camera back right now, you know, because I'm housebound and everything. So finally, I got it mailed back intact. It was in the box and everything. Nothing was wrong, and they said they received it okay. And then they tried to bill me $135 or so. I don't have it right in front of me. But I'm just wondering, is there a law that if you cancel an order like that, that they have no right to charge you for any, for sending mailing saying you owe this or whatever? I don't know. I've never experienced this before.
There is no law mandating that you be able to cancel something once you've ordered it in certain situations, and yours sounds like one of those situations. If you got a cancellation number and they didn't honor that, I would encourage you to file a complaint with our agency to help sort through that. There may be a restocking fee. That might be what that charge is, and there's no regulation over a company being able to do a restocking fee. That's all information that we encourage consumers to try and ask up front before they do business by mail or internet.
Yeah. So the number to call, to again, I'll give that 800 number again. It's 800-422-7128. If you want to get a complaint form, 422-7128, and they'll send you a complaint form for sure. So good luck, Jocelyn. Thank you. Alex in Madison, you're next. Hi, Alex.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Well, I had an incident where I was trying to buy something on eBay. I was buying a Fitbit bracelet motion tracker thing.
Yeah.
This was about a year ago when they were kind of hard to come by, and retail price was about $100, and they were going on eBay for anywhere from $120 to $150, but I did come across one that was for $100. So I thought this was a great deal. I quickly read through it and ordered it. And about a week later, it shows up at my address. A thin envelope shows up. And I thought, this is strange. I don't know how it would fit in there. And I opened it up, and it was a photo of a Fitbit tracker. And I went back to the listing and reread it, and it was the full listing of the kind of a generic listing off the, you know, kind of manufacturer specs and everything. And the very last line said, this is a pic of the item, not the item itself.
Oh.
So I paid $100 for a photo of a Fitbit tracker.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy, oh, boy.
So, yeah, with eBay, you know who the person is, and you've got a phone number, a name, and an address. So I tracked him down. I think I had to look up the phone number, called it. And this woman on the other end, I said, yeah, this is interesting. You sent me a photo, not a Fitbit tracker. And she started laughing, and she said, I guess you learned your lesson that you need to read the description better. And I said, well, you're obviously in violation of eBay. Is kind of, there's a lot of trust going on and fair listing and description. And she just laughed at me and hung up on me. And I went back and forth I called her local police to report her. But the real difficulty of the story was once I decided to obviously contact eBay, well, it took forever. I went back and forth with many times with automated email responses. And just couldn't get a live person on the phone to say what it was. And she actually won the dispute resolution process they have in place. She won it. And I'm like, this is wrong. And I kept pressing and pressing. And eventually, once I got an eBay representative on the phone, within 5 minutes, they guaranteed and refunded my purchase price right away.
Oh, my goodness. Well, here's the you talk all the time about, Sandy, about read the fine print, and then being persistent when things don't work out.
Right. So it did have a good ending. And it doesn't work out well for a lot of people. That's also a situation where you could consider contesting the charge on your credit card if you did use a credit card. That's the only other thing I could think of.
Yeah.
But eBay calling that fair, I question that.
Ah, absolutely. Well, on that note, you'll be back in a month or so, I assume, or hope, and we'll do this all over again.
Sounds great.
Thank you so much. Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen from the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. They'll be back, and we'll do this again tomorrow. Oh, my goodness, it's Friday already tomorrow. Lisa Johnson joins us to talk about healthy plants on Garden Talk. You stay with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Always fun to have you listening in.